Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with autopay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, your Dell HD 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, tools, and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited, carry features, different coverage and offer, not everywhere, restrictions apply.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
It's a familiar scenario on a Saturday night in the land of Lincoln. Teenagers gather at the home of a friend whose parents are out of town for what they've been told at school all week will be the party to end all parties. But because they're teenagers, everything is boring, especially this party that only a handful of people have shown up for. After a few beers, someone suggests, "Hey, let's go out to Blood's Point." I'm Darren Marlar, and this is Weird Darkness. Welcome to Weird Darkness. If you'd like to support my channel, please share Weird Darkness on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, and other social networks. Doing so is a huge benefit to me, and thanks in advance for doing so. If you're new to Weird Darkness, here you will find ghost stories, unsolved mysteries, and other stories of the strange and bizarre. I'm always looking for both fiction and nonfiction stories of the paranormal, strange, supernatural, dark, and creepy. You can even send me links to articles, creepypastas, and other stories you find online that you feel would be great for the show. Share them all with me at WeirdDarkness.com. Music in this episode is provided by Shadows Symphony. You can check them out online at Facebook.com/Shadows Symphony. In this episode, author and cinematographer Stuart Whalen brings us to northern Illinois, to the tiny town of Cherry Valley, where things seem quiet and innocent, until you cross Blood Point's road. Now sit back, turn down the lights, and come with me into the Weird Darkness. It's a familiar scenario on a Saturday night in the land of Lincoln. Teenagers gather at the home of a friend whose parents are out of town for what they've been told at school all week will be the party to end all parties. But because they're teenagers, everything is boring, especially this party that only a handful of people have shown up for. After a few beers, someone suggests, "Hey, let's go out to Blood's Point." Pilfering several more cans of beer from the refrigerator in the garage, they enthusiastically pile into a hand-me-down car and sputter off into the night. After a 15-minute drive, they pull off the highway as they near their rural destination. Out here, there are no lights along the bucolic road to guide their way. Aside from the narrow view of their headlights, there is only the moon and stars penetrating the rustic darkness. Suddenly, the driver steps on the brakes and pulls over onto the shoulder. "That's it! This is the cemetery!" he excitedly declares in a hushed tone. It's one thing to simply hear the stories, but another to actually be at the place. By now, one or two of the boys' girlfriends have grown uneasy. "Okay, great, can we go now?" one asks. "No way," the driver responds. He turns off the car and pops his door open. an empty beer can falls out onto the gravel. He crushes it beneath an Air Jordan sneaker as he steps out into the fragrant country air. "Come on, let's go look around." The girls opt to wait in the car while the boys creep past the no trespassing sign and disappear into the deathly quiet darkness of the modest country graveyard. Above them, the writhing limbs of the venerable trees seem to react to their unwanted presence, almost reaching for them, while blocking out any illumination that moonlight may have provided to guide the anxious young men. The girls peer out the window, trying in vain to maintain sight of their bows through the veil of night. "This is stupid," one girl says uncomfortably. "Mm-hmm," the other girl mutters in response. Then, headlights approach in the distance. "Great," one girl says. "If that's the cops, we are so busted." But as the headlights summit the hill closest to their car, the oncoming vehicle comes to a stop, as if its driver is now observing them from a safe interval atop its vantage point. One girl rolls down the window, and in a panicked whisper tries to call out to the boys, "You guys, there's a car coming!" Meantime, though, the boys are too far away from the vehicle to hear the warning. Though trying to appear heroic to the girls by entering the cemetery, now the foolhardy youngsters are clustered tightly together as they gingerly maneuver through the maze of age-old tombstones. "I can't see anything," one complains, holding his hands out in front of him to keep from walking into monuments. "This is boring," another one says, apprehensively to his friends. "Let's get out of shh," another boy interrupts. "Did you hear that?" They stop in their tracks, listening intently. They can hear something over the hearts pounding in their ears. One nods and points into the darkness from where they detect a faint mumbling sound. Is it chanting? They can't quite make out the words. The driver, emboldened by liquid courage, calls out, "Hello? Is someone there?" The muttering fades and ceases as they await a response. Their hearts are thumping even more wildly in their chests now. Then several tiny glowing orbs rise up out of the ground and begin floating toward them. In unison, they sprint off toward the safety of the car. One stumbles over a broken headstone and topples to the ground with a heavy thump. His friends hear his fall and subsequent cries to wait for him as he struggles to regain his feet. But they have no intention to linger a moment longer than they have to in this creepy old boneyard. Instead, the driver just yells, "Hurry up!" The boy finally reaches the chain-link fence protecting the cemetery from trespassers, but can't seem to locate the gate they'd entered through. A wave of panic rushes over him. He can see the car, but his injured leg prevents him from trying to scale the fence. Then he catches a glimpse of the gate, where his comrade appears to be waiting for him. He sighs with relief and makes his way to the opening, favoring a twisted ankle. As he nears the gate, now away from the cover of trees, the moonlight is sufficient to see that it's not his friend standing between him and freedom, but the outline of a woman. She turns in his direction, and he freezes in terror at the sight of her rotting flesh, crawling with maggots and falling from her skull. The fetid odor and perhaps one too many beers immediately makes him nauseous, and the contents of his stomach are evacuated all over the front of his shirt and jeans. By the time he's finished retching and is no longer hunched over, the woman has vanished. "Must have had too much to drink," he thinks to himself, reassuringly. Utterly defeated, the boy makes his way back to the car, where the others giggle at the mess covering him. "Oh," the driver interjects as the boy tries to get in, "wipe that off first." By now, the mysterious headlights in the distance are gone. Somehow, the girls must have missed it leave when they heard the distressed voices of their boyfriends running for the car. After clumsily trying to rinse the vomit from his clothing with their last can of beer, the boy gets in, and they drive off down Blood Points Road, relieved to be putting the experience behind them. As they advance toward a railroad overpass, the headlights abruptly reappear, this time in the rearview mirror. The driver is nearly blinded because the vehicle behind him must be only inches from his rear bumper. Everyone in the car is instantly on edge again. "Is it the cops?" one girl suggests. "No, it looks like an old pickup truck," the boy next to her says, twisting his neck to catch a glimpse. The boy driving steps on the gas in order to try to put some distance between the two vehicles. "It's her!" the vomit-covered boy shrieks, pointing ahead. As the driver's eyes dart from the rearview mirror back to the road in front of him, he sees the figure of a woman standing in his lane of the road, and he swerves sharply. With a screech of tires, the car spins out of control, rolling a number of times down the bank before coming to rest upside down in a cornfield. The wheels are still spinning. The seriously injured driver, pinned by the steering wheel, asks, "Is everyone okay?" When he hears no response, he struggles to turn and sees that all of his passengers have been ejected. Trapped inside and bleeding heavily, he shouts for help, hoping someone will hear his desperate call for aid. The next morning, newspaper readers lament when they learn that a single car accident claimed the lives of another bunch of area teenagers on Bloods Point Road. Sounds like a horror movie, doesn't it? It'd be comforting if that's all it was. But this is a storyline that's all too common in one rural Illinois community. 75 miles west of Chicago in Flora Township, it's almost as if you're a million miles from a big city. And that's the way folks in this Boone County hamlet prefer things to be. The air is clean, and the agrarian landscape features greenery sprawling for as far as the eye can see. In the nearly 200 years since the area was first settled, relatively little has changed here. People still work the land, quarry limestone, and raise their families in a wholesome setting. One thing has changed, though, and that's the frequent visits by curious city folk interested in seeing for themselves whether the folklore about the area is true. The center of attraction for these visitors is a 5.25-mile stretch of asphalt called Bloods Point Road. Though this rural artery was actually named after the area's first settler, many who traverse this lonely roadway would say the moniker is eerily appropriate. While locals consider the incessant intrusions by outsiders to be a nuisance, the legends and realities surrounding Bloods Point Road continue to draw inquisitive thrill-seekers and paranormal investigators, much to the chagrin of the residents, who, if asked, will tell you there's nothing strange going on out there. But what if there is? There must be at least some truth to the stories that have survived all these years. I mean, aren't legends always rooted in some sort of truth? Phantom vehicles that chase you or run you off the road, mysterious music through the trees, hellhounds, vanishing structures, apparitions, the sounds of children crying for help, electrical disturbances, a crumbling foundation in the woods where red lights dance, a farmer who chases you with a shotgun only to dissipate when he reaches the edge of the woods. These are just a few of the strange occurrences visitors have reported encountering along Bloods Point Road. A few years ago, even FearNet featured the site on its Streets of Fear special, calling Bloods Point one of America's 10 scariest roads. Flora Township, named for its plentiful wildflowers, is where Arthur Blood chose to build a new life in the 1830s. He constructed two cabins before quarrying stone for what would ultimately become his primary residence on a modest hill, which became known as Blood's Point. Once construction was complete, he returned to Indiana to fetch his wife and escort her to their new home, where they'd begin raising a family. Soon, other settlers would come, and a community was born. According to local lore, however, a woman suspected of practicing witchcraft would be among his neighbors. One day, Blood's children are said to have encountered this woman on a nearby bridge, where they witnessed her produce fire from the tips of her fingers. The children were clearly impressed by this feat and would often return to visit their new friend. One legend argues that Blood may have had an extramarital affair with the magic user, but the more popular theory is that he became angry when he learned his children had been consorting with a witch. In either case, the results would prove deadly. When Blood found out his children had befriended the suspected conjurer, he forbade them from having any further contact with the woman. The winter that followed would prove to be an extremely harsh one, killing a significant amount of Blood's livestock. Once the brutal winter had waned, the hardship would continue, and the area became plagued by mysterious prairie fires and sickness. As children will do, Blood's offspring couldn't resist the temptation to resume visiting the witch, albeit in secret now. But inevitably, Blood found out and became enraged. Though one story claims he hanged all three of his children from the bridge where they'd first met the woman, the more likely legend states that it was the witch who allegedly suffered his wrath. Blood is said to have hanged the woman and her newly orphaned children at the site. In later years, it is said that others were also hanged from the bridge, either by vigilantes, angry mobs, or at their own hands. Some of these would never receive proper burials and were simply left to decay, dangling from their nooses beneath the bridge until they ultimately fell apart. The witch is said to have later been buried in Blood's Point Cemetery, which, appropriately, lies at the end of the allegedly haunted road. Over the years, the cemetery has become a popular wayside for curiosity seekers. Many claim to have heard disembodied voices in the graveyard, while others reported seeing and photographing ghostly orbs moving about the graves, some of which happened to be the final resting places of at least a dozen men and women who served during the Civil War. Many graves in the cemetery have been desecrated, which has certainly done little to allow those buried there to rest in peace. It's reported that even Satanists have been drawn to the cemetery to perform dark rituals and animal sacrifices. Despite the intentional damage to headstones by vandals, and even theft of tombstones as morbid souvenirs, the cemetery appears to still be in use today, as several grave markers indicate that living individuals are awaited by their deceased spouses. Down the road from the cemetery, the legendary bridge is littered by graffiti, including ominous warnings and pentagrams that frequently need to be painted over by the township. It is also here that many have reported encountering the witch. Her putrid, decomposed flesh is said to nauseate and incapacitate those who get close enough to catch her gaze as she walks the road at night. Those who've survived such experiences claim to have been cursed with bad luck ever since. And despite the hangings alleged to have occurred at the bridge, perhaps the most tragic tale is said to have happened in the late 1950s or early 60s. According to the story, a school bus loaded with children was returning from a celebration. The bus driver, dressed as a clown, is reported to have swerved on the bridge, crashing the bus through the guardrail and plummeting into the railroad tracks below. Whether it was just an accident, or if the driver had swerved to avoid an apparition that appeared before him in the road, we'll never know. Though some of the child passengers certainly may have survived the fall from the bridge, none would be spared after a train came around a bend in the tracks and sealed their fates forever. Some nighttime visitors at the site have reported hearing the children crying in vain for help. Some even claim to see an apparition of the bus driver, a mangled clown trying to claw his way across the road. While some of these may or may not just be stories, what I personally can't explain is how a car in neutral will roll uphill and over the bridge. Is it some sort of optical illusion, like a funhouse? Some say the spirits of the children believed to have perished at the overpass are responsible for pushing your vehicle over the bridge to the safety their bus was never able to reach. Based on this theory, many have sprinkled baby powder onto their bumpers to test the hypothesis. After setting your car in neutral at the base of the bridge and releasing the brakes, you'll begin inexplicably rolling uphill and over the arch. Then, park and exit your vehicle and you might just discover tiny handprints in the powder on your bumper or trunk. Just be careful not to become a statistic yourself, as other vehicles blindly approach from the other side of the bridge at full speed. To this day, the road continues to prove deadly in terms of car accidents. Is it because inexperienced young drivers, possibly impaired by alcohol and full of bad ideas, just can't resist the road's infamous lore, much like Arthur Blood's children were drawn to the witch? Because stretches of the pavement can be particularly hilly, it's possible that its topography compounds Blood's Point Road's tragic history with blind spots that contribute to these tragedies. And it's a tragedy of another sort that those who are interred in the grounds of Blood's Point Cemetery undoubtedly find little peace there, as would-be parapsychologists, mediums, cultists, and reckless teenagers are always poking around carelessly looking for a cheap thrill. I wish I could tell you that you should go out there and see for yourself, but I can't, and you shouldn't. Those living on Blood's Point Road are fed up with it. Somebody has to pay to replace all those headstones damaged by unwanted visitors after all. Don't expect them to be happy to see you. Out there, folks have their own sense of justice, and there's plenty of places to hide a body where it will never be found. For your own good, just stay away. Allow the legends to persist if you must, but let them live only through oral tradition. You don't need your own story about Blood's Point. Trust me, you don't want your own story. Seriously, do you actually want to throw up all over yourself as a rotting witch places a hex on you? Do you need that sort of negative energy following you home if you're lucky enough to even make it back? So what if you see orbs floating around? Any scientist will tell you it's nothing more than swamp gas. And those voices you'll think you hear, probably just the neighbors or their cows right on the other side of the fence. Does getting chased by a phantom vehicle, cemetery dogs, or just an angry neighbor really sound like a good time to you? And do you need to put yourself and others in harm's way by slowing to a crawl or stopping on a hilly swath of road where the speed limit is 55 miles an hour and oncoming traffic won't see you until it's too late? But if you do decide to venture out to the cemetery some night, you'll certainly get what you deserve, including a likely trip to jail. But at least you might have an interesting story to tell all the other fellas in the drunk tank. So what if the stories are actually true? You don't need to see it for yourself. What good could possibly come of it? I have no plans to ever go back there. Not even during the day. No thanks. Even now, years later and miles away, I still catch glimpses of her walking among the moonlit trees in my backyard, just like the night she appeared in front of my car on Blood's Point Road. I've even moved several times over the years, but she always manages to find me. It took a long time, but my bones have mended since the accident that killed my friends all those years ago but somehow spared me. I don't mind the scars, but what will never heal is the sense of guilt that I dragged these other four young people with me on a fool's errand they'd never return from. And every time I limp out onto my back porch at night or simply peer out the kitchen window, the witch is standing there to remind me. Please support my channel by sharing Weird Darkness on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and other social networks. Please give it a thumbs up and be sure to subscribe if you want to see more. If you're already an official weirdo, please leave a comment and let me know what you thought of the episode. Find more Weird Darkness or send me your own story to narrate at WeirdDarkness.com. I'm looking for both fiction and nonfiction stories of the paranormal, strange, supernatural, dark, and creepy. You can even send me links to articles, creepypastas, and other stories you find online that you feel would be great for the show. Share them all at WeirdDarkness.com. Featured in this episode, The Bloody Legacy of Blood's Point Road, written by Stuart Whalen. Location photos and video production also by Stuart Whalen. Find links to this episode's author and producer in the show's description. Copyright Marler House Productions 2017. Rebroadcast or duplication without express written permission is strictly prohibited. Music provided by Shadow Symphony. I'm your creator and host, Darren Marler. Thanks for joining me in the Weird Darkness.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.